recording.
I did press record. There it is. It's recording now.
There you go.
Press record. I miss it one time, Wes. One time. And you want to remind me every week we do this.
I'm just helping you, buddy. I'm just helping you.
No, it's good. It's good. All right. We're on. Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is Season 4, Episode 25 for February 20th, 2018. Joining me on tonight's panel are Killer Frog Emeritus, Wes Phelan. How you doing, Wes?
Sean, I couldn't be doing any better. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. What are you drinking tonight?
A little, what am I drinking? Let's see. This is, it's bourbon.
That's good.
On the rocks.
What am I drinking? Bourbon.
Yeah.
Something or other. Well, that's good.
A couple of fingers of bourbon. I'm happy.
I don't know. You held it up there. It looks like an entire fist of bourbon.
Yeah, it looks pretty decent pour there, buddy.
Yeah. I need you to be my bartender. That's a good pour. I love it. And we also have Shannon Brazil on tonight. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm good. Happy President's Day, guys. Hope everyone had a good Monday.
Oh, yeah. Happy President's Day to you.
Yeah. Did you guys do any shopping?
No, but I did get the day off from work, and that was awesome.
Oh, you suck.
I know. I've never had this day off. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a teacher, and I didn't even get today off. That's crazy. Is, of course, the boss, Ryan Zeller. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm great. Like I said, I had all these great intentions of getting so much done around the house, and, of course, the only thing I did get done was going to Sam's and buying a bunch of groceries and getting the food ready for this next week. Other than that, I was pretty lazy, but we need that sometimes. So,
well, you know, my kids had today off. I know, Shannon, your kids had today off too. And I'm sitting in, because I teach college, so of course we don't have the day off. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in my class giving a lecture, and my wife is like texting me, and of course it gets it on my watch, gives me my text messages, and she's like gloating. She's like, "I'm taking the kids out to lunch, and then we're gonna go watch Peter Rabbit. And we're going to go have fun at your parents' house. And you can't because you're working." I'm like,
"Yep."
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's
how it goes.
Yeah, just rub it in. Oh. Not that I was necessarily hopping to go see Peter Rabbit, but, you know, we spent some time with the kids. It's all good. So, anyway, we got this might be a little bit of a quick podcast tonight. There's not a whole lot of news going on, but we do want to run down the Frogs. And I think Ryan's got some news to get started with.
Yeah. So this weekend, the boys and girls were in town this weekend for basketball. I had good intentions of going to both, but we went for a walk. It was so pretty. It didn't rain on Saturday. So I ended up only going to the men's game that night. They did put a whipping on OSU, which was awesome. The score was
if you're going to pick one game to go to this weekend, that was definitely
So fun. 90-70, and that just looks so good on the scoreboard. You know, I mean, if it could have been like 90-69, it would have been even better, but 70 was just incredible. So and then, as we know, baseball got started this week, and so did sand. We're going to talk about baseball a little bit more in depth later, but beach volleyball got started, and they had their purple and white game Saturday, and purple won. And so they kick off their real season this weekend along, and they'll be in town with baseball. It'll be it's going to be fun on campus this weekend. You're going to have basketball going on, beach volleyball, and baseball. So just put on your purple and plan to be out there all weekend, all day.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then nice. On Sunday, I went with WC Nix's wife, Jennifer, and I, and then Rima Roan. We all went to see Chicago at Bass Hall. And as I was leaving.
Wait, just to clarify, Chicago, the musical.
The musical.
Okay. All right. So Peter Cetera.
You know, yeah, I wish it was really the music group, but it wasn't. But so I feel like I should, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of, everybody should see most of the Broadway shows. I don't know why I feel this way, but I do, because I never like them when I go see them. I liked Wicked, and I liked Cats. I haven't seen Stomp, but I think I would like that. But, you know, Phantom of the Opera, I was just like, eh. And then, of course, this one, Chicago, I couldn't care less about the storyline. The dancing and the music was good, but that was really it. We're all trying not to fall asleep in the second half just because it was that time of the day and we'd eaten a lot before we got there. But on the way out, the most fun part of the whole thing was that I saw.
No, this is a great rundown. I love it. Can you give us a little bit of a review of the second act there, Ryan.
I couldn't wait for it to be over. I was like, the second half is always shorter than the first half, right? Yeah. But
you know, Shannon sang on Broadway.
But y'all, on the way out, I was walking out, and Mike Sinkfeld, I hear this, Miss Ryan, and I turn around, he's there with his daughter, Mike, from the football team, and then I'm walking out of the building, and I see Jack Hasselbrock, and I said, Jack, I just saw Mike Sinkfeld, and he goes, I know, he goes, we brought all the senior athletes from TCU, so every sport was there that was in town.
Awesome.
I thought that was so neat.
Awesome.
I figured it would be interesting to ask them what they thought of Chicago. Maybe they're more cultural than I, but can't imagine that they were, you know, I don't know. The guys probably liked it because all the girls, you know, were in cute little outfits dancing the whole time. So there's that aspect of it.
Was the music good?
It was. It was good. Yeah.
I'm more of a Les Miserables guy.
You're more of a what?
More of a La Miserable guy, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I do love about TCU when they do those kind of things. They've been doing. We're known to do those kind of things. It just, aww. I think that creates that whole family atmosphere you know, for years to come. You know, we should go to church together and all those kind of things. And we have some great church stories, but because you have all different backgrounds going to one denomination, so it makes for some great locker room. Talk and laughter, but I commend Jack and those guys. Even if you weren't interested, you were with your teammates, you were with other, you know, all the other seniors or whatever the case may be. So that's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
Shannon, that brings up a good point. Wes, Shannon, when we go and interview the football players for Media Day, we got to ask the seniors, what did they think about Chicago?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes, you got to put that down. Like, tell the truth.
What's your favorite Broadway musical?
Exactly.
Well, if they say La Miserable, then we got problems here because I think it's good. I think it's good to broaden your horizon a little bit. Take time to do those things.
Sure.
Good.
You know. Sure.
And Bass Hall's a good venue to go see that in.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. No doubt.
That's good. Yeah, now, if Chicago, the music group, comes into town, Ryan, you let me know.
I will. I definitely will.
You know, my wife drugged me to an opera back in May. She said, please, just do this one thing for me. I said, okay. So we drove up to Fort Worth and went to see Carmen.
Oh, it's a good
and
opera.
I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I'm not an opera guy, but I enjoyed it. So I think the students should let go and you know, take it for what it is. I think they'll have a good time at it.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is an opera singer. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we get a lot of that around here. It's fun when, like, my 7-year-old son tries to mimic her as he's walking around the house. So,
just make sure you don't put on tights. That's all. Make sure he's good.
No tights.
Not yet.
Check that out the door. And, you know,
tight to the cod piece. Watch out.
You know, I do think, I don't know why. Talking about tights made me think of WC, but it did.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
That's really funny. I'm not sure what's going on there. But anyway, I think we should give a little update on WC. Last week, he mentioned that he was going to be having his shoulder surgery this Monday. And so we have all checked on him, and he is doing great. He's just a little, you know, woozy right now and half asleep from all the anesthesia and all that. And I did ask him his biggest worry about this. We kind of had this conversation after the podcast last week. It wasn't on the air, but we'll go ahead and fill y'all in. We asked him what his biggest worry was.
He's gonna love you for sharing this.
Oh, here we go.
Please do.
And he didn't really want to say because I'm a girl. And then he was like, I don't know, Ryan. He goes, well, you're one of the boys now. And he goes, the reason I kept putting this surgery off for 20 years, people, 20 years, is because it's my right arm that they're that's having the surgery. And immediately I was like, oh yeah, because I had just had carpal tunnel surgery on my right wrist, and I was like, you're afraid you're not going to be able to wipe, aren't you? He said, yes, my left hand is, I can't do it.
Oh.
So
that's a good reason why, I must say.
So that's really all I can think about right now is WC. Like when he finally goes big potty, how that's gonna go. So
hey, that's when that for better or worse kicks in.
That's right.
He'll be an athlete. He's going to relieve Jennifer.
He's an athlete. There you go.
He's an athlete.
That's not exactly something you train for, though. Let me just.
I told him
he needed to be practicing before the surgery.
Well, I mean, he knew ahead of time. He had 20 years
to get it right.
you got to work that offhand every so often, you know.
So we'll be sure to ask him next week how that all went, you know.
Yeah, we'll get all the details.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, now, all right. Well, let's get into this a little bit. So you mentioned Ryan already mentioned basketball. So let's talk a little bit about this. Women, of course, beat Kansas State 87-70. That was a really good win. And of course, the men beat Oklahoma State 90-70, and that was probably one of their better wins all season long. How are you guys feeling about basketball right now this week?
I think
after this weekend, I feel pretty good. But then, I don't know the way they have. Wes, is that your music?
That's not little eighties.
I like it.
So I guess on Wednesday the girls are playing at Texas Tech, and then the boys are playing in Iowa at Iowa State. So we just have a few more games that we've got to get past, and then I don't know. I mean, I know we're right on the cusp, but
this is a crazy conference. I mean, there's such a logjam right now.
Where are we standing right now? We're 17-9 overall.
17-7, I believe it is. 17-7. I'm sorry. 17-9. You're right. You're correct.
And 6-8 in conference. Is that right?
That sounds about
right. 5-8. Is it 5-8 or 6-8?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
I
think it's 5-8. But do you guys are we pretty much at the point where it's the eyeball test? We need to the energy these guys played with the other night. Being
6-8 in conference.
Yeah, 6-8. There you go. They beat Western these guys handily the other day, and I'm thinking, and I think they just got to beat West Virginia and Oklahoma.
No, West Virginia beat us. Yeah, we started off okay, right. But West Virginia ended up whipping us.
So,
but we were shorthanded that night. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just don't know if we went out with the same type of energy. You know, how's this thing come down with getting in? Because I know we're on the bubble. But man, the way those guys played the other night, I mean, they were on, and I get it. Basketball is every other night or whatever it is, and it's so many games, it's hard to play with that kind of energy. But I mean, you still got to win the ones you got to win to get in, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But we definitely need to play the rest of the season out with the energy we had the other night and let the chips fall where they may, you will. So and then count on other people losing and all that kind of thing. But I don't know the whole strategy side of it, but we need to take care of our business, play with that type of energy. Because those guys, I don't care who they could have played anybody that night the way they were playing, and I think the outcome would have been different, being that we lost most of those games by, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4 points or whatever it's been. So it was good to see. We know that they have it in them to go and compete at a high level. We just got to play like that on the road.
Yeah, looking forward. It looks like we've got Iowa State up in Ames on Wednesday. Then Baylor on the 24th in Fort Worth. And we beat them down there. So, you know, knock on wood, we should be able to beat them here. K-State in Fort Worth. And we got Texas Tech. We got to go to Lubbock.
Yeah. That was the one that closed out the season, right, Wes?
Beg pardon?
We closed out the season in Lubbock, right?
Close out the season in Lubbock. Then we head into the tournament a couple of days later. Yeah. So, that's going to be a big one.
We're going to do a road trip to Lubbock if that game is a clutch game for us. Let's just say we went out and we need to obviously beat Tech. We're going to cancel all our plans, and Mike and I and Rima and I don't know who else. Anybody else who wants to can pile in with us, and we can all caravan out to Lubbock to cheer on our boys, because that'll be a fun game.
Let's back up to Baylor for a second. What kind of signs do you think we'll see that game? Let's take a minute, to visit the signs that are going to be at in the stadium once we play Baylor?
That is a good question.
Let's think about that before. That might be the funnest game here on out.
Shannon, just in case some people who are listening to the podcast don't exactly know what you're alluding to, why don't you give us a quick rundown of Baylor in the news this last week?
Let's just put it like this. Baylor University shouldn't be called Baylor University anymore, especially when it comes to the football side of things. I mean, they seem to can't get it together. Even when you try to, look past it and say, okay, that's here we go again. But I'll leave it at that. I tell you this, if you don't know what's been going on, you tune in Saturday when we play Baylor, whatever that date is, or be there.
And 11 o'clock. I guarantee you,
as soon as you walk in the building, you'll know what we're talking about right out of the gate.
Yeah, you know, Baylor just can't get out of their own way. I swear.
This game is going to be televised on ESPN2. And honestly, I mean, as much as I dislike Baylor, I dislike what they've done, and I think they ought to be held their feet to the fire and every chance NCAA and a law can allow on this matter. I don't want anything to get too carried away on the signs, just because we're on television. We don't want to come off like a bunch of low-class slugs.
Oh, come on, Wes.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, yeah, I know the student section. They're gonna absolutely take it to Baylor. I mean, when you get caught doing pretty much the exact same thing again.
Yeah.
After what happened the first time, I mean, yeah,
it's starting to be like they are crazy. Who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Saying.
Oh,
I mean, my God. And I will say this, because I have four girls. I don't condone that kind of behavior. I've been a part of a locker room. I hate to talk about this, but they keep making us seem like talk about this kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't condone it. And we kid and joke, but there's been somebody in a situation that's been hurt. And so when you think about it from that standpoint, I don't feel bad for these guys, what happens to them when it comes to a sign or whatever. That's very light compared to what should happen to these guys, you know. And I hate that. But so I'm looking forward to the signs.
Well, let me ask you guys.
I love that evil little gleam on your face.
Right there. Ties it all together.
I may have one made myself there.
All right, real quick question on Baylor, because we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on them because they're not really worth it. But real quick question. Given what the NCAA has done in the past to programs like SMU, TCU in the 80s, how is it that the NCAA has not levied a more serious sanction on Baylor after everything that we have seen?
Well, why hasn't the league levied a more serious sanction? What did they take? Take away 25% of their payout for a little while? Is that what they did? If I'm not mistaken. I don't know. The NCAA exists to – make sure that one school does not have an unfair competitive advantage over another. But they also exist to make sure that schools maintain administrative control over their programs. Clearly, there's a lack of administrative control down there in Waco.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the main points that got SMU the death penalty.
TCU got that heavy penalty.
Yeah,
back,
sure. Sure.
You know,
walking death
so
penalty.
Why are they not judging by, holding everybody up to the same standard. Cheating, I mean, buying players is bad. This is worse. This is worse because this involves a human being and physical, mental scars for the rest of their life. This is terrible.
It's got to be affecting their numbers. I mean, I wouldn't let my girls go there. I can pick any other. Mm-hmm. I don't care where they go, but it's got to be affecting their numbers. And at some point, it's going to be an all-man school. How about that?
I don't know if it is, y'all, because, listen, I just don't think people read, unless you're like us, I don't think they stay up. They're not watching ESPN. I have a friend of mine whose daughter wanted to go to Baylor, and they were just kind of unaware of everything that was going on. I just don't know if it's really out there outside the sports world, you know?
That's when you need to do your research, and I've got a daughter who's junior, getting ready to we're starting all this stuff, and you do your research. Yeah. And she's an athlete or academics, that's where you do your research, and you got to be held accountable for what you know about the university or what you don't. It's on you, but if they don't know, they soon shall find out, because at some point, if you're just going to Baylor and they're on the news for the wrong reasons, you'll find out pretty quick.
Yep.
And I hate that that would be the case. But anyway, on to the next. Baylor doesn't deserve this much time. Sean, you're right.
Yeah. Well, Well, moving on. So, yeah, looking forward to the basketball games, especially the last four games of the season for the men. I think the women are also kind of on that bubble as well. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a horse race to the very end of the season. And then we got the Big 12 tournament, and who knows what may happen. I mean, Shannon, I agree with you. If they come out and the men play with as much fire, as much passion as we saw against Oklahoma State, they could take anybody in this conference. Yeah. And I honestly think if they can, if this is like maybe just me, I don't want to, you know, predict anything spectacular, but if this is the start of them getting hot at the right time, I'll take it.
Yes.
You know, it's what they need. I mean, it happened to them going into the NIT. Who knows? I mean,
is Jalen Fisher done for the year, or will he be able to come back to the tournament?
I don't think he's coming back. Yeah.
He's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is and Alex Robinson has been playing pretty well, pretty darn well in his absence.
Yeah.
But
it's been great.
Be great to have Jalen back.
Most definitely. Well, let's move on to baseball. Baseball team had their first series this weekend against GCU, Grand Canyon University, also known as the other university that stole TCU's logo. Wes, what did you think about the baseball series against Grand Canyon?
You know what? I think we had that game yesterday. As we were talking before we started the podcast, you know, we put Feltman in a little bit early and took him out a little bit early, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not a pitching coach, and I'm certainly not a baseball coach. So, you know, I'm sure Sloss had his reasons on it. But I would have held on a little bit longer before I put Feltman in. That might have saved the game. I don't know. I mean, in hindsight's 2020, but I thought it was a little bit of an early insertion for him. Overall, we did pretty good. I mean, our team batting average coming out of this series is 267. We got a couple of guys by, you know, Jack Humphries, our catcher, batting 385. Adam Ovito, our new shortstop, 385. Josh Watson's boosted his average up to 364. If you remember,
Didn't Watson have the home run on Friday?
Watson had, yes, he did.
Yeah.
And a triple.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome. Well, that game on Friday really helped everybody's batting average because the first game in the series, and by the way, TCU did take the series 2-1, but that first game we had to come back. Yep. And we only ended up winning 3-2 late in the game. But that second game, our bats just came alive. It was a 14-6 slaughter. But yeah, you were right about that third game. I'm not quite sure exactly what the thinking was there with bringing in Feltman as early as he did. And then also the errors killed us.
Because I think we have other guys who could have set it up. But, you know, again, I'm not a baseball coach. I'm not going to second guess Schlossnagel. He's you know, he's earned the right to have me not second guess him. So, but we have, you know, overall from a hitting perspective, it looks pretty good. Lucan Baker batting 333, had 6 at bats, official at bats, and no home runs. We all hope for him. Well, I did. He did have one. I think.
Wait, what happened to him? He got hurt at the first game and then set out the second game and played the third game, is what I understand.
Oh, he did get hurt? I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I read that he got hit above his eye and he had a cut, and I guess they had him sit out the second game, maybe for concussion protocol. I don't know, but they said surprisingly he was back. So he must be totally fine back on Sunday. So,
but you know, they put Michael Landestoy in his place and he had a pretty good day at the plate yesterday. I think he was,
he's
300 right now.
I think he's a better first baseman just because he's a little bit more nimble, agile. But you gotta get to Lucan somewhere because you have to have him.
You have to have him.
Lucan mishandled the ball in the field and it ended up popping up and getting him in the eye. So that's why he was forced out. But I mean Baker, you gotta have Baker in the lineup. I mean I'm sure there's better first base options that we can have as far as fielding is concerned, but you gotta have Baker in there. So
pitching wise,
learn that if Baker's going to play at the next level, he's got to find the utility up and in the infield.
Pitching wise, our team ERA is 3.64 after three games, not terrible. Mm. Dervin Feltman's got a goose eggs all the way. Jared Zanzic 1.35. Mick Lodolo has a 5.06 ERA. Sean Weimer 10.38. That's not sterling, but it's still early. That can drop it.
A 10 ERA is not sterling, Wes?
No. But, you know, I mean, after one game, I mean, it could be – that thing could drop down.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just one series. It's one series, but I mean, if you read the board, it was like, you know, time to start jumping off of a
pole. Yeah. Well, it's
one series, drop one game. I mean,
wow.
It's a young team. This is a young lineup.
Absolutely.
It's a new lineup. I mean, you're replacing pretty much everybody except for first base in the infield, and then you got a new center field. I mean, what do you expect? I figured if we went into this and if we win the first three or four series, I'll be very happy. Even if we're dropping, you know, a game here and there, I'm fine. I'm fine with it.
You got to let these new guys work in. I mean, Kobe Bulwer at second base, he's only batting 200 right now. But you know what? I think I've heard he's got some pop in his bat. He just hadn't found his stroke yet. Connor Shepherd, not even batting one yet. .083 is a batting average. We got to get him hitting a little better.
Yeah.
But overall, we're doing pretty well in the field at the plate. Just got to get these guys to find their stroke and get some positive at bats.
Yeah, really got to lean on the pitching here in the early part of the season, and you know got to see more games like we did of that first game from the pitching staff. But you know, if the rotation is able to hold things together and the bats are able to come along, we'll be fine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No
doubt. I mean, Jared Janczyk, what did he strike out? 11 people in that first game?
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Yeah, he was on the mark.
Yeah.
So
we know who our ace is.
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and it's Tuesday, so tonight, Tuesday night, the Frogs are playing their first home game at Lupton Field. What's their slogan this year? It's Be the Magic. Be the Magic. So come out. Be the Magic. It's going to be maybe raining that night, but it doesn't matter. Rain or shine, come out there.
Is it supposed to rain that night?
It's supposed to rain like for the next week. Ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm going to take my chances. But and then they're back again this weekend for three games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So come on out there.
I might have to pop down this weekend and see if I can get a seat.
Oh, yeah.
Come on up, Wes.
You can be my date. Mike won't go with me to all three games. So.
All right, boy, it's gonna be. I got a date.
hey, Wes, if you come on up, let me know. I'll let Dubber know you're gonna come over and help him wipe before you go.
Oh, God.
All right, here's what I'm gonna need: some really thick gloves, a hazmat suit, and a fire hose.
Dubber.
Yeah. Man, we wish you all the best, Dubber, please.
I love you, Dubber. You have to figure this out for yourself.
I'm kidding. Well, you know, we're looking good. I mean, baseball starts off with a win out of their first series. I'm happy with it. It's early on. We'll see. This team will gel together. We'll be fine. Basketball's looking good, too. We have a little bit of track news, though. Shannon, why don't you fill us in a little bit about what's going on with the track team?
Well, you guys, Ronnie Baker, I try to follow track best I can for those who go on to the next level, and he's one of them. And Ronnie Baker just broke the indoor he won the indoor championship in the 60 meters. He ran a 6.40. Now, if you guys, I don't know if you – I mean, that track, I mean, it's small, and you eat it up really quick, but – see this guy run. He's special. And he's starting to gel. I mean, he's been winning. And I'm thinking this guy's going to really have a bright future in the track and field running for USA or whoever, you know, whatever group he's with, probably Nike. But, man, he's been running. And I'm talking about really fast in a short space. So those legs are going. But he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. And so that's blazing fast. I started thinking, man, I wonder what that guy can run the 40. You know, if he's running a 6.4 in the 60, his 40 would probably be to die for. You know, he'd get first round of NFL all day long just off his 40.
he graduated last year, didn't he, Shannon?
Yes, he graduated and went on to the next level. And Ben, I think he battled a little injury for a minute there. Those guys are all muscle. Anything they do, I mean, it's all muscle. And so it takes a while to heal, you know, to be able to run that fast, you know, and put a race together when you're beat up and any kind of nick or whatever when it comes to track, only because my daughter's run, I've been learning about all this stuff. It just takes away from your speed. You know, you just got to you got to be feeling good to have a good day. And so he's starting to come into his own.
That's impressive. What did he win last? He pretty much tore up the Big 12 Conference tournament last year.
He won, yeah. I mean, yeah. you know, back in the day, we used to have a ton of guys who could run, and now we get those sprinkles, and he was one of them, you know, last year and, you know, 3 years out before that. But I saw him run over at TCU for the conference championship or whatever it was, and that guy, he's an animal. And he's a good guy. I mean, you meet him, he's just a humble. I mean, yes sir, no sir. I'm like, man, you can call me Shannon, brother. I mean, we're good. I mean, just respectable, which most of those guys are. They're frogs. But it was good to meet him. And I knew he would have a great future after college.
You know, track is really an intriguing thing, because I know, Shannon, when you played, if you remember that old, the old practice, football practice field, the track that was around it, only had seven lanes
with grass coming through it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. We could not even hold a competitive meet there and could barely practice, because when they laid that surface, it was kind of a rubberized surface.
Yep.
When they laid it, they didn't drag it good. So there were still stones and boulders under that surface. You could practice in a couple of lanes. It was terrible. I'm not going to go off, because I'm not tired of Frank. but, you know, that was an idiotic decision. Seven lanes, and you got a nationally ranked track team who specializes in sprints, and you can't even hold a meet there because you have to have eight lanes to have a sanctioned meet, and we only had seven. I mean,
that just goes, again, that underscores how TCU, prior to kind of our reemergence, how the institution as a college put so little emphasis on athletics. You know, from the 80s and in the 90s, it was 70s, 80s, and then the 90s. And it really wasn't until we finally, you know, we had Chancellor Tucker was kind of on his way out. And we had Chancellor Ferrari.
Yeah.
It wasn't until that big push that they wanted from the administrators. Like, look, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. Let's put all the resources we can into it. And that track is, I remember that track. That was terrible track. And that just goes to show. I mean, you have a nationally ranked team and you got a facility you can't hold any meets at. I mean, that just goes to show how little school actually cared. But, you know, how well the track coach and the staff did as far as being able to recruit these people with such subpar facilities.
Well, yeah, and back then, our track coach, Shannon, I don't remember who our track coach was when you were there, but as I watched the program in baseball, it was Bubba Thornton, who used to run football. He was a wide receiver on the football team. Very, very wise, fast guy. And he was a track coach at TCU, but TCU just would not commit any resources to the track program, and that seven-lane track is the perfect example of them. So guess who comes along and hires him? It's the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And he went down there, and he took them. I mean, he did some good with that program because they were willing to put some money into it. And I think they have a track stadium, if I'm not mistaken. And
it's beautiful.
Yeah, and he did a good job with them.
Monty Stratton was the coach when I was there. He's, that's when he had, you know, the Freighters and the Kim Collins, who still runs now for his country. He was a recruiting guru from across the water. And, I mean, he had so many guys. I think we still have the 4x1 national record to this day from back then. And so we had some burners. And the thing about it is, you know, football, we're there, Sean, now to where every sport is doing what they need to do as far as facilities and which helps recruiting and all those kind of things. But we've seen it start with football, even though, you know, we were on our way. Track was, they were winning, you know, they've been winning, but it wasn't, it was not the sport to bring it in recruits, bringing in national attention on the level. And now that football's there, which is, as we know, the mecca of everything when it comes to universities, well, besides your basketball schools, now we're there. And so with that track being there, because you have athletes who play football, most of these guys they're track guys, they're football track guys, and a lot of them want to run track. And so when it comes to TCU being, now that we could be a track and football place, whether you go to LSU or UCLA or Arkansas, where they have football and a great track program, well, those kids most likely go, if you're a track lover, to go to those schools that cater to track guys as well, and you don't miss a beat with facilities and all that. And I think now we have that. We have everything, whatever, no matter if you're baseball, football, track, football, whatever, we have everything you need to be happy your 4 years at TCU.
Yep. And you know, we've expanded the program now to where we're here to, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, we were more a sprint school, and we were darn good at it. But now when Eric Hyman came, he came, and I guess it started with Stratton, though. He wanted to expand the program to where you have more events. So we've got more field events. We've got the weights people. We have the hurdlers that we've invested into that. We've got, what do they call it? Long jump now, pole vault. We've got a complete track program. Whereas when I was there, we didn't. We just had sprints. Right. We had, if a guy showed up and could throw a shot put or a discus around, hey, come on out and throw it. You know, a few points here and there, you know, never hurts in a meet. But now we've got a complete program. We have coaches to coach them. And it's come a long, long way. And I don't think people realize how low we were. We're always at a high level on athletes, but on facilities, not so much.
And, no, not at all.
No, yeah. And we've, you know, my gosh, they've really committed the resources to it, and hats off to them for doing so.
Yeah, no, Shannon, you're right. I mean, seeing what football has been able to do, it was Del Conte said it once, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. So
you
got to put the money in the football because, like you said, it is, and Shannon's absolutely right, that's kind of like the mecca of all athletic programs, at least in the United States colleges. But we've gotten to the point now with that program that we're starting to see it bleed into some of the other sports as well. And it's really, really kind of helped out. In fact, there is one sport that I know that everyone was kind of wondering whether or not we were going to actually update. And I know that was swimming, but it looks like the time now, first. I was going to say the time is now to go ahead and start making a move in that because the news out this week is that our swimming coach has resigned. After taking over, this was his first year, though, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ryan's giving us the air quotes, resign, yes.
Sam Bush was our – I think he came from the University of Virginia, and I think, if memory serves me correctly, his father was the head swimming coach of the U.S. Olympics for a number of years. So in swimming circles, he was a well-known name. I don't know what the circumstances were, but as y'all remember, towards the end of last semester – he was put on an administrative leave or and so that's a red flag right there. It could be anything from improper relationship to cheating on expense report, whatever. It could be something just dumb like that caused his demise. I don't know, but I guess last week he went ahead and resigned. And I guess what I read was that as they got deep into their investigation of the whole matter, he realized there was no coming back, and he went ahead and submitted his resignation. So now we're back to square one. We got to find a swimming coach. And then, you know, we've got a facility that's acceptable but not world-class and certainly not up to keep in standing with the rest of our facilities. So, you know, do you show this new coach that you've got a commitment to it and put out the call that we're going to increase or improve our facility? I don't know. Could be a tough sell, but, you know, we found one guy, so we could find another one.
I mean, this is going to be the first major test of our new athletic director. So,
yeah. That's yeah. True. Yeah. You're right.
And it's a swimming coach. I mean, it doesn't sound like – I know a lot of, you know, TCU fans are like, it's swimming. But, you know, if you're going to make a commitment to all sports, you got to make a commitment to all sports. And, you know, if you go out there half-assed with a hire for swimming, that sends the wrong message to the rest of the staff. So, you know, well, he's got to come in with the coach. Good hire.
He could make his first important hire that changes the program around. Now it's a notch underneath his belt as a great hire. Now, all of a sudden, to your comment, now everybody's knowing about TCU swimming based off his hire. So he could change the dynamics of that. I'm with you at swimming, but it is TCU, and then we support all sports. So we'll see what happens.
We're going to see how good he is at hiring coaches, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but I'm available for the 20-meter belly flop anytime. So if you want me to come out there.
Well, the cannonball. I can teach that pretty good.
There you go.
I still, you know, I remember that one time when we had the swimming coach on the live show, Wes, a couple years ago, and he gave you that Speedo.
I've still got that Speedo.
Yeah, I'm just glad. I'm glad he wasn't able to talk you into actually going into the bathroom and putting that on and then come out and do the interview in the Speedo.
I remember that.
I'm so glad you said no to that.
Oh.
Yeah, and I walked home and said, look what I got. My wife said, just keep it in your drawer. Okay?
But she didn't ask you to put it on and strut around the house.
No, I mean, I offered to, but, you know.
Well, from that bent over you just did 5 minutes ago, I didn't know what was going on, man.
Shannon.
For those of you not watching us on YouTube right now, yeah, Wes decided in the middle of one of his discussions to bend over and touch his toe.
Stretch.
So if you heard Shannon a while back just kind of giggle out of nowhere, that was the reason why.
That was it. I didn't know we were talking about track. He was lacing them up or what?
Yeah. I was looking for my Speedo. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, Wes pulled a hammy. He's just down there stretching. That was.
Oh, my goodness.
That was not good. Well, and the last little bit of news we have for this week is actually in football. And we have two things. First thing is the SMU game has been moved from Saturday to Friday. What do y'all think about this move? Good or bad?
I like it.
Yeah?
I like it. It gives us an extra day. Who do we play the next weekend?
Ohio State.
Ohio State? I think it's excellent. Yeah. I think that was a great choice. Yeah, I think it was good. Other than just being in Dallas on Friday is going to suck. So head over there around lunchtime. But other than that, I think it's a good move.
So we're going to welcome Sonny Dykes to the big time on Friday night then, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Wes, you're covering your mic.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, you're good. Yeah. No, as SMU, I hate going over to the play, not necessarily because, you know, the atmosphere is what it is. I mean, there's like a half a dozen SMU fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. But the problem is getting into SMU and the way that they've got that campus set up as far as traffic flow is just absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, Ryan, you're going to have to get in with a Friday night in Dallas game. I mean, get off early at lunch and then just go head over there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But that'll be fun. I think it's a good thing. We get an extra day to get ready for Ohio State. So that'll be good.
Well, we might need that extra day. So
Yeah. Hopefully not for anything major.
No.
No doubt.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And the last little bit of news, Wes, we got a cornerback coach change, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, Jeremy Modkins, former player at TCU, has been, a graduate assistant or an analyst, and he has been promoted to the cornerback coach. The existing cornerback coach, Paul Gonzalez, has moved to safeties, and then defensive coordinator Chad Glasgow moves from safeties to linebackers coach. Now, that's kind of an interesting move because I think, like a lot of people, I thought that our the name escapes me now. The guy that did was coaching our linebackers as a graduate assistant.
What happened to him?
I don't know. You know, there's a little hubbub in the middle of the season where he apparently walked out.
Yeah.
And I don't have any confirmation of this, just surely speculative. Apparently, you know, he just got mad and said, I'm gone, and then came back.
You're talking about Jason Phillips?
Jason Phillips. Thank you. I could not remember.
I said Phillips. Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't know. Okay.
I thought he got the position. No. I mean,
I thought he would get it, too.
I thought he was assumed he would get it. But apparently didn't. So, I don't know. Now, he – as a graduate assistant, you got 3 years, and then you get move up or you move out. So now I guess he's in a position of having to move out. Chad Glasgow was a linebacker at Oklahoma State, so it's a little more of a natural position for him. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
So Jason Phillips didn't get the linebacker job last year? He didn't?
No, he did not.
No.
He did not.
Wow.
Okay. He was still considered a grad assistant.
Wait, but who had the linebacker title?
He was coaching the linebacker. I forgot who the official linebacker coach was.
Yeah, because he was the main – I mean, he may not have had the title, but he was their main coach.
If you looked on Goldfrogs, Jason Phillips was listed as linebacker coach.
Yeah.
But he was technically
– Yes,
assistant.
Yeah.
So, but you're only allowed 3 years as a GA, and then, like I said, you got to move up or move out. So now I guess he's going to have to move out.
Well, shoot, we need to figure out what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. But because I thought it was a foregone conclusion that he'd get the job. But, you know, I mean,
well,
I trust
Patterson. Being that he coached under Patterson, 4 years in the league, he'd been around there, trained around there. I mean, you would think that's a smart hire, but that's probably internal, and we'll probably leave you there until we find out what happened. But looking on the somewhat of the outside looking in, you would think that'd be a great hire. I mean, I thought he had the job. I actually congratulated him last year when I saw him because I thought he had the job, and I thought that was a great hire. But I guess that was something else.
Well, I mean,
defensive analyst is what they're saying he was via GopherHogs.com. But
Chad Glasgow, our linebackers coach. So
yeah.
So anyway, move. Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, again, Patterson knows what he wants. You got to trust him on defense. He knows what he wants in a coach, and so it's hard to argue with that.
Well, and that's the linebacker's position is certainly one that is going to be a question mark going into spring. So sure. It'll be interesting to see what Glasgow can do with that group.
And you're right, Shannon. I'm looking at GoFrogs right now, and Jason Phillips is now a defensive analyst. So, I mean, that doesn't mean they don't have long-term plans for him.
I mean, he's currently a defensive analyst or was a defensive analyst? That's what he says.
2018.
Now. All right. Well,
that's good.
So he's still on the staff. So that's good. I mean, it could just be a situation where they're just reshuffling the defensive staff.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
well, Garrett does a great job. Yeah. Garrett does a great job with the coaches, especially the ones that are been around for a while, finding spots for him. I think he truly tries to keep the ones around that, that fits in the program bit that they went to school here or not, or they coached here or not. But so I commend him for that. He's, you know, Mockins, again, he came through the ranks and had opportunity to now be on the staff, you know, increase salary and things of that nature and, you know, better himself and his family. So congrats to him. But I think that the Jason Phillips thing will work out, being that he's done it in the past with other coaches. That are some of them still on staff that coached when I was there. So I think it'll all work out.
Well, you know, I mean, in GP we trust. I mean, it's hard to argue with success. So.
Right.
It's very true. Very true. Well, and with that, I think we're done with the news. Was there anything that we missed, guys?
No, but I just want to do another reminder. You're listening to the game. Go out to the baseball game tonight. Then go out to TCU all weekend. If you can download those, you can go to GoFrogs.com. You can actually download all the schedules, athletic schedules, onto your Outlook or iCloud calendar. And then you just pop open your calendar like I'm doing right now, and they're all there for you. It's so easy. And so my calendar on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is all purple. So be out there for baseball, basketball, or beach volleyball.
So. Yeah, Saturday's going to be a lot of fun. Awesome. I mean, get out there, go to Einstein's Bagel for breakfast, hit a game, go to Duke's for lunch, hit a game, go to Whataburger for dinner.
Go to Yogi's. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yogi's.
Or Yogi's, go to Yogi's. Yeah,
Buffalo Yogi's. Brothers, they always do specials for basketball if they win or do five. I think if they make 5 three-pointers in a row or something like that, you get 5 boneless wings for free. You know, the good stuff.
Love it.
It's all good. All right. Well, with that, we are at the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening to us tonight. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We're also on social media on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs and on Facebook.com. We're at facebook.com/killerfrogs. Of course, you can always go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and go ahead and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And that means we've come to the time where our podcast, where we all get to say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Hey, Shannon, you're on time that time.
Always the delay. Y'all have a good one.
Y'all.
All right.
All right. All right.